Welcome, members and guests, to the August 4th program of the City Club of Eugene. Welcome to our TV audiences on community television and the Oregon Wind Network. I'm Marty Wilde, City Club President. Today's sponsors are Sacred Earth Botanicals, Marilyn Milne Public Relations Services, KLCC, and a special thank you, as always, to KPFF Consulting Engineers for office space and to KLCC for airing these programs on Monday night. We thank you for listening. These programs are free for our listening audience, yet there are costs involved. Your contribution is completely tax deductible and will help keep our organization healthy. We are pleased to welcome today a number of speakers for a program on working together on the best outcomes for kids. You'll notice it is not snowing today, a marked change for the two previous times we scheduled this program. So we do thank our speakers for being willing to reschedule once again to today. And here's Molly Wickup-LaJoy from Eugene Education Foundation to introduce our program.
Good afternoon. My name is Molly Wickup-LaJoy, and I'm the Executive Director of the Eugene Education Foundation. And we are really proud to be here. I'm here with one of our board members, Terry Justina, to show our support for both the BEST Plus After School program and AVID. The Eugene Education Foundation's mission is to promote educational excellence and opportunities for all students in the Eugene School District 4J Public Schools. And we are proud as a foundation to raise funds to empower and expand key programs that help students succeed in school, college, career, and beyond. BEST Plus and AVID are vital programs that increase the academic growth and college opportunities and preparation of students to boost their achievement, especially those from diverse backgrounds. These programs provide a continuum that contributes to closing the achievement gap and elevating the overall health and quality of our community. We can create a more appealing community now and a brighter future for our community. To accomplish this objective, the Eugene Education Foundation has adopted BEST Plus along with AVID as top priorities for us to fundraise. And I would like to introduce Peter Chavan, City of Eugene Recreation Division, Raquel Gwynn, the new District 4J After School BEST Coordinator and Staff Development Specialist, Sharon Tabor, she was the former BEST After School Coordinator, and now she is currently the Community Liaison, and Randy Bernstein, Principal of South Eugene High School, and he is also our District 4J AVID District Director. Please join me in welcoming them.
Well, hello. Yes. Good. Hello. Thank you, first off, to the City Club. Thank you to the weather for cooperating. As I look out, I see a number of supporters of the BEST After School program and AVID program. We've got some school district leaders here, some community leaders, and we have community partners here. So thank you to all of you who are here today. My job in like about a minute and a half or less is to give you a quick history, a quick overview of after-school programs in the United States, starting in the 1990s. So in the 1990s, there was a recognition on the part of a few senators that the demographics in America were changing, that there were more women that were working, and that we had a number of children that were going home to situations, either going home alone or being involved in activities that we don't want kids involved with after school. So they proposed legislation to begin after school programs. There was a big cry from inner cities who wanted these programs and also from rural areas. So the legislation that started these programs is called the 21st Century Community Learning Centers. Somewhere in the late 2000s, no, actually it was the late 90s, when No Child Left Behind came onto the scene, there was a thought that these after-school programs could really be used to boost children's academic success. And at that part of what was put into the legislation was the need for after-school programs to offer reading and math assistance to children. So the Eugene School District, along with programs across the nation, started doing that. Along the line, there have been a number of national groups who have looked at this field of after-school and have seen that it makes a really big difference in children's lives. So that's the Mott Foundation, the Harvard Family Research Program, the Wallace Program, all have put money into studying programs. And what they found is that kids in after-school programs do have more success with their academics. They also are safer after school, and their social-emotional growth really is developed. So we want to tell you a little bit about the local story, and then at the end I may go back to some national, but what's important is what's going on here in Eugene. So I'm going to pass this on to Raquel Gwen, who is coordinating our programs locally.
Hello. I hope you can hear me. Okay, that sounds like it's a little better. Thank you. Okay, so BEST, people ask me, what does BEST stand for? And it stands for Boosting and Enriching Our Students Today. We currently have 4 elementary schools and 1 middle school that's primarily funded through our 21st Century Community Learning Grant. And then just this year, we were awarded a grant from the Oregon Community Foundation that enabled us to open a program at Madison Middle School. So right now we have a total of 6 programs serving over 500 students in our highest poverty schools in the Eugene 4J School District. Our demographics consist of 80% of our students qualify for free and reduced lunch, 50% are students of color, 29% are English learners. Our program runs 4 days a week, with our school doors remaining open until 5:30 at night. So we're pretty proud of this program, if you can't tell. Our program has 4 key components, and the first component is that we provide academic intervention in the area of mathematics and reading. And this is truly an extension of the school day. Every student who needs intervention or even enrichment is assessed, and we target instruction to meet their specific skill gaps or skill deficits, and then individualize that instruction for them. The program we use is aligned to the core program during the day, and it's also aligned to our Common Core state standards. Let's see, what else? The second and equally important part of our program is that we provide enrichment opportunities that not only help us close achievement gaps for kids in applied mathematics and reading, but also to help close opportunity gaps for our kids as well. And we do this by partnering with the City of Eugene, who you'll hear from in just a moment, and other partners as well, and they're in the room here today, some of them I see. We partner with the School Garden Project, and John Moriarty, stand up over there, John, is here, and our students participate in integrating science, technology, engineering, and mathematics as they learn lessons in the garden. Through this project. We also partner with the Eugene Springfield Youth Orchestra, and Michelle Pound, I thought I saw her, I don't see her. We partner with them, and tomorrow night at the Holt Center, you'll be able to see our BEST students on stage performing. Tickets are still available if you want to come and see all the things that they have learned in BEST this year in their strings classes. So it's really exciting. We also partner with the Eugene Symphony with their Link Up program, and that's another opportunity to partner and perform at the Holt Center. Eugene Rotaries, Tom and Nancy English are here, raise your hand. We partner with them as well. The University of Oregon Federal Work Study Program. And we also provide career and technical education classes in both of our middle schools in the area of culinary arts and woodworking. So that's really exciting as well. The third, there are 4 components to our program. There's 2 big ones right there. But the third one is we also provide a nutritious dinner for our kids. So some of our kids eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner at school every day. So that's a big piece. And finally, the fourth critical component is we provide a safe bus ride home for our students. And sometimes that's directly to their doorstep. You know, in the wintertime at 5:30 at night, it's really dark. So that's really important. And if we didn't have the transportation, we simply couldn't serve the number of students we do now. So that's a big part. So you may be thinking, well, boy, that sounds really great, but does it work? Does it have any impact on student achievement? And the answer is absolutely yes. Yes, it does. I posted some data up here. I'm not going to bore you with all of it. But basically, on average, our best students have grown more in the areas of reading and mathematics than their non-best peers. So their non-best peers are the same peers in the same school that don't attend our program. And then they also have grown more overall than our students at 4J. So we're proven to work. You know, it works. And it makes sense because BEST adds an additional 49 days, an equivalent of 49 days of instruction to the school year. And we know that Oregon has one of the shortest school years in the nation and the shortest school day. So this is pretty significant. Let's see what else. So really, the truth to all of this, you know, what makes this program work is not only robust academic intervention, not these amazing enrichment classes, it's really the relationships that our staff make with our students. That's the key to all of this. And we are very purposeful in building those relationships. We send three critical messages to kids. And number one is, this is important. What you're doing in school every day and what you're learning in BEST is important. This is important for your future. Number two, you can do this. You can do this. That you can learn to play the violin. You can learn to be proficient, a proficient mathematician. You can do this. And third, that we are not going to give up on you, even if you give up on yourself. We won't do it. We believe in these kids. So, gee, I'm sorry. I don't know where that came from. We love our program. That's a critical component, and it's really the relationships that make this work. Any master teacher knows this, that learning is increased when you add all of those components. So, you know, one thing about relationships is we know that it helps students grow and learn, but in order for our program to be successful, we need relationships too. And for the past 13 years, we've had a great relationship, a great partnership with the city of Eugene. And if we didn't have them, we couldn't provide the opportunities that we do now. So with that, I'd like to turn it over to you, Peter.
Wow, that's awesome. Thanks.
Oh, thanks.
So I want to frame my remarks about how we account for the value of the program by reminding you all, or maybe telling you for the first time, how we in recreation think about our work. We don't understand our work as primarily providing services to help people fill their leisure time. I mean, that's part of what we do for sure. But within recreation, we think about the work we do as community development. And so with that frame, I want to talk about the ways we're able to pursue that mission within the BEST program. Clearly, the most obvious one is youth development. And both Sharon and Raquel have spoken pretty eloquently around the ways that the BEST program improves young people's outcomes academically. Recreation plays a role in that, and I'm not going to get too far into neurochemistry and neurobiology. But there is research out there that shows when, if you think about learning as happening along two dimensions, one, breadth, the acquisition of new information, and depth, the acquisition of deeper knowledge, play actually supports that. And it primarily has to do with the level of engagement that people commit to when they're playing, as well as the openness to taking risks. In a context of play, doing something that's unfamiliar isn't quite as scary. And so what happens to the brain when it's at play, it actually is more open. And what happens to the body when people are at play is that it's more engaged. And clearly, if you're more open and you're more engaged, you're able to learn more effectively. So that's one of the ways recreation supports youth development. The other piece is around social, emotional, interpersonal skills. And one of the nice things about enrichment programming is it's less structured, typically, than academic instruction. And what's important about the comparatively less structured environment is that youth have a little more space to experiment with all of these skills we're trying to give them. And so that freedom means that they actually need to work a little bit to navigate the tacit rules of interaction. And the more they can practice that with skilled facilitation, the better they become at doing those things. And so if you think about community development and youth development specifically, enrichment has, or recreation has, a really vital role to play in supporting youth development. So that's one of the things that recreation does through the BEST program, one of the reasons we're really excited to be a part of it. The other piece, and Raquel mentioned this a little bit, is the relationship between two organizations, institutions committed to youth development. And so we've got professionals with expertise that overlaps but doesn't perfectly align working together to support youth. And the nice thing about that is recreation staff get training from 4J, from school district people, and the ways they think about learning. 4J staff get training from recreation professionals around the way we think about youth development. And combining that knowledge creates a nicely interwoven, I don't know, net cradle, warm hug for youth to thrive in. And that's really important. So that's the second piece I want to talk about. And then the last piece around community development is social equity. You know, it's really important, especially for young people, that they have the opportunities to thrive, succeed, and excel. You know, the nice thing about the BEST program is that we really work hard to remove barriers to participation, whether they're economic, cultural, geographic, transportation, all of those things. You know, a kid in a BEST school can participate in BEST. I don't think there's any reason why they wouldn't be able to. And we work hard, even if it fits outside of the structures that we've set up, to make it possible for families to participate. So that's kind of my bit, and I'm going to pass it back to Sharon.
Okay. I want to tell you just two kid stories to make it real, to end this piece. So one is about a boy whose name is Carlos, and Carlos was actually in the Register Guard a couple years ago, telling this story. He is a student at one of our programs. His fourth grade teacher noticed that Carlos was way behind in reading, really concerned. English was Carlos's second language. She said, you know, Carlos, there's this great program after school called BEST. If you were to join that, you could get some help with reading. He kind of hemmed and hawed and, you know, said, well, I don't know if I can do that. And then a little while later, part of what came out was that it was really important for him to go home because he took care of the younger siblings. So once the teacher found that out, we said, you know what? Your sister can come to BEST. Your brother can come back to BEST. You can all be in BEST. And so the family joined. Carlos is now a fourth grader. He sees that there's an opportunity to learn to play the violin after school in the youth orchestra. Carlos really wants to learn to play the violin. So what that would entail is that he would miss 2 days of his reading instruction after school. And so he went to the teacher and said, okay, now I'm here in BEST. I really want to learn how to read. I really want to learn how to play the violin. So they worked out this program where Carlos actually took home reading work for that fourth grade year, and he would bring it back. And when he came back, he would pair up with a University of Oregon mentor who did reading with him. And he got to go to violin. He performed. We had a performance a few years ago. There are some of you here who saw him performing. By the end of his fifth grade year, he had totally caught up and went on to Kelly Middle School, where he was still in the best program. And every time I see him, he's got a big smile on his face. He's real proud of his achievement. There's another little girl that I just learned about, and I'm going to say her name is Amelia. She was a fifth grade girl who had quite a reputation for being a bully. Other kids did not want to be around her, and the after-school staff noticed that any time that she was in a group, that there was a lot of commotion and then a lot of finger-pointing, and some other girls would come away crying, and they thought, you know, this is something that we can work with. Here in the BEST program, we have a staff ratio of about one child to five, five children to one adult, because of the number of volunteers and our partners. And so they sat down with Amelia and said, you know, are you aware of what's going on with the way that you talk to people? You know, they thought, let's just start with communication. Let's just start with talking. Would you like some help with this? Yes. You know, she wanted to make friends, and she really wanted to make friends, but didn't know how to go about doing it. So the whole team, you know, this is 13 people on this after-school staff, all sat down with Amelia. They decided it was important to bring her family in, so her mom came as well, and they all talked about, how can we help? How can we coach? You know, what can, when we see you doing these things, what kind of reminder? You know, they came up with a little signal, you know, think about what you're doing. Anyway, they talked about the turnaround that happened in this little girl. She did begin to make friends, and this past February, she made a cake for the whole staff, the whole BEST staff at this school. And she made this little handmade note, you know, that said, "Thank you for teaching me how to be nice. I like it a whole lot better." Hearts and kisses. So anyway, those are some of the kinds of things that happen after school. And we're hoping that if you're interested, that you'll come and see. We love giving tours. We can do it most days of the week. There is information on the little pamphlets on your table. You can contact Raquel, and we'll give you a personal tour, or you can come with a group of people. I'm going to turn this over now to Randy Bernstein. I want to tell you about a partnership that happened, and why we're here together is we had an opportunity to apply to the Oregon Community Foundation to expand our program, to enhance and expand our program on a middle school level, and we were looking at the success that Avid is having with students in high school and middle. And so we sat down and said, wouldn't this be really great to have Avid program be a part of our middle school program? So when we expanded to Madison, we brought the Avid program in, and Randy's been really instrumental in that happening. And so here we go. We're switching to Avid.
Thank you, Sharon. I guess there's many commonalities between the two programs, but one of them, Raquel mentioned earlier, that three of the important mindset that we want to keep in at the forefront of our work in working with students is that this is important, and it's something you can do, and we're not going to give up on you. And that's something that translates through the AVID program as well. AVID stands for Advancement Via Individual Determination, and it's a program, or really a system, that's been around for about 33 years nationally, started in San Diego with an inspirational teacher, and it's now grown to nearly 5,000 schools nationwide, and middle and high schools mostly, but there's also elementary and even now some post-secondary forms of AVID programs as well. And it's a college readiness program, and it's expected to do two things. You know, we've all heard, or I believe we've all heard, about the achievement gap, and that some students aren't performing on tests, for example, as well as other groups of students. And we want to erase that gap, not by bringing one group down and another group up, but by bringing all groups up, but particularly bringing these groups performing lower up faster, and so that they can meet the other groups. But related to the achievement gap is what I'd call the opportunity gap. And I'd invite you for these next few remarks to take a look on your tables. You've got a thing that says a fact sheet. And I'd invite you to look to the side of the fact sheet that has some graphs, some bar graphs, because this is really part of the why we're doing AVID here in Eugene. The graph at the bottom of the page tells a good news, bad news story. The unfortunate news, if you look at the grayer areas, it shows both an achievement and opportunity gap, but it also shows an overall dismal story of achievement in our country. And what this is if we were to take a group of ninth graders just entering school and then look at them, that same group of students 4 years later, this is how many of them have completed all the requirements to get into a four-year university. Now, more of these will have graduated high school, but this is the number or the percentage that would have graduated. And if you look overall, it's only 36% that at that time have done that. The roughly a third of the kids aren't even in high school anymore. The black bars on there, the ones reaching higher into the 90%, are the percentage of students who have had the AVID program for three or more years. And it's across race and ethnicities and also socioeconomic status that 90% or more of students who have had AVID for that time have completed those requirements to get into college. Well, that's the overall result nationally, and it's, you can see it's based on tens of thousands of AVID graduates in this particular year. So what is AVID and how does it do this work? Well, it really operates on two levels, and on the back of the sheet it talks a little bit about this, but I'll kind of summarize for you. It operates on two levels. On the one hand, there's a group of students who are recruited particularly for the AVID elective class. And this is a class that's going to meet every day of their high school or if they start in middle school career, as long as they stay in the AVID program. And it becomes a community of students and teacher, a family of sorts at school that is going to loop together all the way up until they're ready to go to college. And in there, the students learn a lot of skills, organizational skills, study skills, critical reading, thinking skills, as well as a lot of college preparatory things, which our students here, I'll let them talk about in more detail. A typical week, they have a couple days where they're working on learning those skills, and then they have a couple days where they have a thing called tutorial, where we have college students, the same group of college students coming in every Tuesday, Thursday, working with small groups of students, where our AVID students have brought in a question from their content classes, could be math, science, literature, whatever, and they each present their question, and it becomes kind of a Socratic dialogue with a college tutor facilitating, not answering the question, but facilitating the conversation amongst the AVID students. So they're learning to work as college students need to work in study groups. Lots of other things go on in the class, which Tima and Sam will talk about. Meanwhile, on a school-wide level, content area teachers are also taught in best practice strategies. WICR is the acronym for all that is AVID: writing, inquiry, collaboration, organization, and reading. So all the AVID activities or the work that our content area teachers are learning in terms of lesson planning is to incorporate those elements into their lessons with students to make them rigorous and relevant. Relationships was something that Raquel and Sharon and Peter mentioned, and that's very important. I'll let these two talk about that as well. I'd like to talk real quickly before I hand it over to where is AVID here in Eugene now. Well, we've had it for about 6 years now. We started it at one school, at South Eugene High School. It's now in all four high schools and six of eight middle schools, and next year the last two middle schools, Cal Young and Monroe, will also have AVID programs in their schools. It was a treat. A few months ago, we brought all of our students who are in an AVID elective class for a keynote speaking event at Churchill High School, and we had over 500 AVID students, grades 7 through 12, coming together. And our AVID seniors, we have two senior classes now, one at South and one at Churchill, paraded in front on the stage to talk about what they're doing next year, because AVID works and these students are going to college. Last year, the profile of an AVID student is one who's kind of was operating in the middle, maybe getting B's and C's mostly, but kind of dropping the ball maybe here and there and getting a D or an F sometimes too. Maybe an A sprinkled in there as well. Let us know that this student, really all students have potential, but that this student we know with just certain kinds of extra support and boost would be able to make it with all A's and B's. And typically there are students, not entirely, but students who would be first-generation college students. So most of our AVID students, if we look at our AVID class, we'll see twice the percentage of students who are on free and reduced lunch in an AVID class as compared to the rest of the school. We'll see twice the percentage of students of color in an AVID class as compared to the rest of the school. Because these are students that we know are typically underserved at the college level. And last year we had, I think, 21 students in our AVID senior class. All of them met the requirements for going to college. 20 of them went on, one's taking a gap year, and I believe will go on the following year. This year, I believe we have 27 or 28 students in our AVID class. All of them are planning to go to college. Many of them have already been accepted and getting scholarships as well. And I'd like to hand it off to Tima, and to Tima Richardson, who's been in our AVID program for all 4 years. When coming out of middle school, we recognized Tima as somebody with lots of potential, but maybe could use an extra helping hand just to make that transition to middle school, to high school, I'm sorry. And then Sam's been in our program for 2 years. Again, a student with great potential, had some various challenges freshman and sophomore year, but he saw what was going on in AVID, and we invited him to join the class, and he's had great success since as well. So, Tima?
Hi. So I'm going to talk about what we did our freshman and sophomore year. We had a couple focusing things that we did. The first thing was establishing a support system, which included our AVID brothers and sisters, we call them, and also the faculty members like Randy Bernstein and other teachers. They came and they helped us all through the 4 years. And also we learned how to be more organized, which means like our binder, we had binder checks every couple days. And also critical reading and thinking, which was from tutorial, and it helps us expand our minds and think more broadly about our questions that we got from school.
Mm-hmm. So, C-notes, maybe?
Yeah. And also, we learned how to take C-notes, which also known as Cornell notes, and we can use them as study guides. And yeah.
So, as Randy said, I joined AVID after my sophomore year. The summer of going into my sophomore year, I lost my father in a car accident. And at the start of my junior or sophomore year, I was not doing well. My grades were slipping. I was getting C's, and I knew I needed to pick it up. And that's why at the start of junior year, I talked to Randy and my grades AVID teacher, and we figured out a way that I could join the class. And Everyone accepted me. There was no hostility towards me because I hadn't been in the class since freshman year, and everyone's just, they care about each other. They realize that we all come from different backgrounds, but that we all need help in one way or another, whether it's financial aid, whether it's getting through high school, getting into college, and getting through college.
I think that's probably the most important part. It's the support that we get from each other and from Brandy. Because also there's this girl named Elizabeth in our class. Freshman year, she was really quiet. And she wouldn't really talk to us. But this year, she's, talks a lot. And it's really nice to see that she has her confidence up. And a lot of us came to speaking things like this, and it helps us get our confidence up too, and as well in school.
So basically, junior and senior year, toward the end of junior year, we focus on what colleges we're planning on applying to. We do a college search. We put in basically our GPA, what size college we're looking for, what we're looking to major in, and it brings up a list of potential colleges for us to apply to, and which we take into the summer and we process that, and then at the beginning of senior year we start applying, and we can apply pretty much wherever we choose based on our feelings of how we're doing. A lot of us have gotten accepted to the majority of colleges we've applied to. I've gotten accepted to 3 out of the 4 schools that I've applied to, and I fully plan on attending one of them next year.
Yeah.
And Tima, you've applied to and gotten accepted?
To University of Laverne in California, U of L, and Portland State University.
Yeah, we actually require the students to, even if they're going to go to LCC, which is a wonderful opportunity for, I think it's one of the, it's not such a secret anymore. I think people are learning more and more what a great institution LCC is. But even if a student is planning to start at LCC, we require avid students to go through the application process for a 4-year university so that they know how to do that. So that when they're not in the AVID class anymore, they'll have that experience as well. So these are great students. It's just outstanding. I think they deserve a hand for the work that they've done. And it's just, at graduation this year, when the AVID students walk across the stage, their teacher, Ann Hedick, has been with them since they were freshmen. So she's, it chokes me up to think about how she's going to be on that graduation day when all these students are walking across the stage with their caps and gowns, headed for a college where they're going to be wearing another cap and gown someday. So I guess maybe, this is where you come in. All right, thank you.
Handoffs are always tricky. Thank you to our speakers. Those are Raquel Gwynn, Sharon Tabor, Randy Bernstein, and Peter Chavon, and our two students who are
Sam Lee,
and Tima Richardson.
Thank you very much. And now we'll take a break for you to form your questions, and we'll be right back. Thank you.
You're listening to KLCC Eugene 89.7, KLCO Newport 90.5, KLFR Reedsport 89.1, at 88.1, KLBR Bend, KLFO Florence, KMPQ Roseburg, and on the web, klcc.org.
Welcome back. We're here with Raquel Gwynn, Sharon Tabor, Randy Bernstein, Peter Chavon, Sam Lee, and Emtima Richardson for a program on working together for on the best outcomes for kids. And now to your questions.
John Dello, City Club member, and I had two questions from the table, but one is pretty quick. How high up in grade level does best services go?
We serve kids from first grade all the way through eighth grade.
Eighth grade, okay. The other question was for AVID, does a student register for it as an elective, or does a teacher need to recommend them?
It's a great question. It is an elective class that the student registers for. We invite a pool of students to apply. We look at some different types of data on their performance and background and demographics and things, and then we invite them and their parents to apply, and we won't put a student in AVID unless they apply to be in the program, unless they want to be there.
Well, that was a quick answer. Yeah, Frank Carlton, a member since 2003. Wanted to find out about funding, not only current funding, but looking to the future, how we're going to sustain the program.
Both?
Right.
Okay, the Best After School program is currently funded by the 21st Century Community Learning Center grant. We're in the first year of a five-year grant. We have 3 years of full funding. In the fourth year, our funding goes down to 75%, and in the fifth year, our funding goes down to 50%. That is to encourage us to find community support to sustain the program. So what we are doing this year, this isn't new to us. We've been working with an advisory committee and a sustainability group, and some of our members are here today, looking at ways to fund this program. And part of it is through community outreach. When you come to see the program, you see that it really makes a difference in children's lives. It's also working with partners. Part of our grant asks us to work with community partners. And so through our partnerships and public awareness, we hope to find funding from foundations, other grants, philanthropists. The school district has been a strong partner. So that's our challenge. If you have ideas, please join us.
Well, and we're hoping that when these successful grads get on and become rich and famous, they'll fund the program for us. But seriously, there are a few different expenditures and some different sources. So the biggest expense is for the AVID elective teacher, but that really is a repurposing of funding. And you know, we get staffing levels, and this is an elective class. So at a school level, we choose to have some of our elective classes be AVID elective classes as opposed to other elective classes. Larger expenditures is the professional development, not just for the AVID teachers, but also for the content teachers. We've been, this summer, for example, we'll be taking about 80 educators for summer institute training. Over half the expenditures for that are grant funded at this time. We've got three sources. The Miller Foundation has been very wonderful in supporting us. The WLS Spencer Foundation has been great in supporting us, and so is the Eugene Education Foundation. And then for the tutors, the college tutors, because we have a swarm of about 50 college tutors across the district, many of them we were able to work out, like BEST was, federal work study. So they're paid, the tutors are paid through federal work study. And then some of them are funded through our WLS Spencer Foundation. And then some of our funding then for outside of that comes through our instruction department.
My name is Paul Thompson. I'm City Club member over the last decade or so. This is a question for Randy, I guess, but anybody can respond. I'm currently tutoring a student that is pegged at a 10th grade level. I'm tutoring him in math because he's failing. If you take a look at his transcript over the years, it's consistently been Fs and D minuses in math class and so on. And from your presentation, I would concede that if he had been associated with the BEST program along here, he might have been rescued before this point. He probably will not go on to a four-year college, so he wouldn't be designated in the AVID program. And so he seems to fall in kind of a cusp between these two programs. Is there anything in the school system to help this class of student?
Well, first of all, let me clarify that students in AVID don't have to go on to a four-year college. Typically, nationally speaking, about a third of our AVID graduates go on to community college and may go on to a four-year college after that. So we do have students in our AVID program who are special needs students, for example, and have learning disabilities of various kinds. So it's possible that this student could be worked in our AVID program. But meanwhile, we have other sources as well. We have things called math proficiency labs, for example, that are starting to become more prevalent in our in our high schools where we have teachers and teachers' assistants and volunteers such as yourself to work with kids and help get their math skills up to a level that'll allow them to both graduate from high school and hopefully go on to college.
Good afternoon. My name's Tom English, and I'm proud to say I was a founding member of City Club, haven't been here for a while. I've been very intrigued by all the information about the science, technology, evidence-based practices, art, and particularly relationships involved with what you do. But I'm also intrigued by the whole idea of the community. You mentioned community development and how this fits in. We have that certainly community development costs money, but we look at those as investments. I wonder if you've thought about when we don't do these things, what happens? I've been a chaplain at the jail for 15 years, and I think I know. So I begin, you consider yourself maybe a crime prevention program, and I think if my boss, the sheriff, were here, he'd agree.
Yeah, it is true that most of the juvenile crime happens between 3 and 6 when kids are unsupervised. So that's when the illegal drinking, drug use, sexual activity happens. Between the hours of 3 and 6. So we definitely do look at ourselves as crime prevention, but even more than that, we're really teaching kids to make good decisions, to have interests in life, to develop their academic selves, but also their social relationships and their interests. So,
and just to add to what Sharon said, I did a training recently, and I asked the staff, what do adults want for kids? And we want, and there were, the answers were some variation of youth development. And then I asked them, well, what do kids want? And they want to have fun, and they want to belong. They want to have a community. They might not use that word. And one of the nice things about certainly BEST is, you know, as one of the examples Sharon gave was of the young woman who felt cared enough to take a chance and learn how to be kind. I mean, that is unbelievably powerful. And so to get a young person, imagine a middle schooler or an elementary school child who's got a reputation as a bully, and some adult coming to her and saying, you know, don't do that. That's not nice. People won't like you. That's not going to do anything, right? That's telling her, oh, this is just another person who doesn't like me. But we had 13 adults get in there and say, you know what? We care about you, and it's worth it to us to sit down and figure this out. And so that community of belonging is essential for youth development, and absent that, we get crime, we get gangs, a whole host of negative outcomes for individual youth, for families, and for the community. And so that idea of belonging is really important as well.
Jerry Smith, City Club member. I'm glad the two of you just got into the area that I was going to ask about. That is, what about some bright young kids who've had very early on troubles with substance abuse and are now getting a lot of attention at CERBU, you know, is there any room for kids like that?
There definitely is in the BEST program. If they're in a middle school level, the program's open to all children, and we often have counselors that will refer students to the program. I would imagine that AVID also is a support.
Well, we've got an AVID star who I believe is going to go to U of O on a Pathway Oregon scholarship next year, who prior to him being in AVID was expelled his freshman year due to some substance issues, but came back and wanted to work hard and asked to join the AVID program, and he's been a great success story.
Joe Von Hippel, City Club member. Our table was very interested in how the students actually got into AVID. We want to know who asked them to attend, or did somebody ask them to attend, number one. And number two, who makes the decision?
Well, actually it was eighth grade. My principal at Roosevelt Middle School, he told me about Avid that had just started. I think it was the year before. And so Randy Bernstein and my now current Avid teacher, Ann Hedick, they came to Roosevelt and they interviewed some of my classmates and me, and they asked me questions about my future plans and what I wanted to do and like why I thought I should be an Avid. And so I guess they made the decision from there.
Yeah. Yeah, we liked Tima the first time we saw her. We look at data. We look at our both demographic data at our students who are in typically underserved populations. We look at our students who are in free and reduced lunch. We look at our students of color. We look for a band of students that are right now, performing at a GPA, a grade point average range of about 2.0 to maybe 3.4, somewhere in there. And then we also look at our all students, so we don't exclude any students from that initial data look. And then typically if a high school is going to have one class of 30 students to come in, we'll put together a pool of about 60 or 70 students to invite to apply. And then from there, the number of applications, there's a process that they apply, they're interviewed, we look at some of their data, we give them points for different things, both on performance and also demographic indicators, and from there we make decisions as a team. Every Avid school has an Avid site team of teachers and counselor and administrators that ultimately make those decisions.
Thank you.
Hello, my name is Veronica Maya, and I've been a member since 2013 at City Club. My question was actually for both of you guys that are students. When I went to high school, I was an immigrant child, and English was my third language. So I didn't have a support system like this, and I did go to college, and I did, go to law school and continue on. But I was wondering, for you guys, what's that experience like, having a support group and then going from the friends that you had before and relating to them when now you have this other support group and clique of friends with Avid and the BEST program?
Well, I feel that at South, it's a pretty close-knit and welcoming community, so there isn't a whole lot of difference between the kids that are in Avid and the kids that you might already be friends with. So you have an understanding of what is needed to coexist within both groups of friends and how you can bring them together and thrive as a whole. And the close-knit community of Avid is a lot there for support when you're going through the college process and going through, and just we all help each other out with scholarships, applications, and just general applications to colleges. And it's a lot like other friends we might have. We all found each other in the same sort of condition and became really close to one another.
Mona Meeker, City Club member. Since BEST requires transportation in the darker hours at the end of the day, our table was wondering if kids from other 4J schools are able to attend the BEST after school program, one, or two, if you're considering expanding the program to additional schools.
We would absolutely love to expand our program to other schools, and that's a funding issue. So that's our hope and vision for the future, is we think every school needs to have a BEST program. To answer your first question, unfortunately, no. We have waiting lists for kids to get in from the schools that we serve. So we don't have kids coming from different schools into the BEST program. So we're just at six sites.
Thank you.
Marty Wilde, the City Club president. I have a question, though, before we close the program. On that theme of scaling up, we've in City Club heard across a spectrum of for-profit and non-profit activities that there's a lot of great ideas in this area and there's a lot of great starts, but there's a sort of a fundamental challenge of scaling up to the next level, which is kind of where it seems where you are right now. You've got a great thing going, but achieving the next level of inclusion is difficult. So if you have any comments about what your plans are, ideas are about how to do that, that would be great. And also, you've commented about the cohort effect of having a group that you're advancing with and how important that is to the students in particular. And do you risk losing that if you do scale it up? Thank you.
Raquel said that it is our vision to be in every school in the Eugene School District. That is our vision. We know that there are children in every single school that would really benefit from this high-quality after-school experience. So we look for opportunities. Last year it came in the form of a Oregon Community Foundation grant. That was very, very exciting to be able to add another middle school to the program. This past grant allowed us to add another elementary school to the program. We're going to be meeting on April 23rd. It's our advisory board committee, and we're really interested in ideas from the community. You know, I don't think that we're alone in saying, how do you expand a good thing? I mean, part of it is by getting the word out, and so we hope you'll help us to get the word out. We've thought about starting a business, maybe. definitely, you know, we are looking for supporters, people who come and really understand that this makes a difference in a child's life now, but then it makes a difference down the road in the community for all of us. We are developing children who will graduate from high school, who will go on to be successful citizens in our community, contributing citizens. So we don't have a magic bullet right now, but we are exploring and we'll find a way.
Thanks, Sharon. And with Avid, we are following a rollout plan that started 6 years ago, and next year we'll be in our final two middle schools, so that all eight middle schools will have Avid to a certain level. And we would love to be able to, right now in each school, we have one Avid class at each grade level. There are some schools that would like to be able to have the funding to do more than that, and so that would be one area. Another thing I should mention, though, is that Avid, I mentioned it's middle and high here in Eugene, but there also is Avid Elementary, and we would love if we could. You know, it's a funding issue, I think, right now, but I've been in Avid Elementary schools across the country, and seeing kids, I mean, coming into kindergarten and first grade, already learning to aspire to become a college student at that age, where it just becomes part of their culture where it hadn't been before, and then also learning skills to help them. When we talked about the kid who didn't have the math skills earlier on, for example, the BEST program or catching kids earlier through Avid and other means would be ways to do that. So we do look forward to that. It does take, you know, resources, and we've been fortunate, and hopefully our results, as we continue to show results, that'll continue to attract people who want to support our work.
Thank you very much to Raquel Wynn, Sharon Tabor, Randy Bernstein, Peter Chavon, Sam Lee, and M. Tima Richardson for this program on the best outcomes for children. Thank you. And thanks again to our sponsors, Sacred Earth Botanicals, Marilyn Milne Public Relations Services, and KLCC. We meet next, next Friday on April 11th at the Downtown Athletic Club to hear Building Equity Inclusion at the University of Oregon and Beyond. Lunches for this program can be ordered on City Club's website or by contacting the office. Thank you.